Tonight, my message tonight is called Heavenly Minded. Heavenly Minded. It's something that the Lord put on my heart that I see so many people today that they're thinking about so many things and nobody really has their mind or they're focused on heaven or even Jesus, as a matter of fact. Most people are just consumed with their own lives and what they have going on. And I think this message tonight is to get everybody focused back on what's important. And oftentimes we get so caught up in this world that we don't realize where we're headed. And we're headed someplace very beautiful that God has prepared for us. And that's the promise that we have. The promise that we have is the blessed hope of Jesus coming back and us going with him to live forever in eternity, to live with him. And I don't think that we can concept what eternity is and how long forever is. All we have is a concept of time on earth, and forever is forever. And that's what I'm trying to get you to start thinking in the forever terms. And it's more or less to get your mind out of the flesh thinking and start thinking in the spirit and where we're headed. And that's a promise that's given to us. The promise that Jesus gives us when he says, I'm going to build a mansion. I'm going to make many mansions. And that's for us. And oftentimes I think that we forget about those things. We get caught up in life, busy. Some of us have just came straight from work. You're probably still thinking about work. You got things on your mind from work. And I just want to let you know tonight, just sit here, relax your mind, and just start thinking about the things of heaven that is promised to us. Because if we have our mind on heaven, then we'll have our mind on Jesus. Amen? Amen. So I have a question for you tonight, and it's, what is heaven on earth to you? Have you ever thought about that? Like, what is heaven on earth? Heaven, well, really, that's an oxymoron. There is no such thing as heaven on earth. There was a heaven on earth at one time here when the garden was here. But we tend to think of a place, you know, what would you think of heaven on earth to be? Is it a place? Is it the beach? Is it the woods? We all have these memories of where we went, and that was like the nicest thing you've ever seen or the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. A lot of us might even think Texas is heaven on earth, right? Majority of us might think that Texas is heaven on earth. I have an idea. I think that's a little bit of heaven on earth. I think God favors Texas a little bit, and I really do feel that. So, but you know, what I'm saying is it could be a beautiful place to some of us, and I've seen some beautiful places. I've been to the beaches of the East Coast. I've seen the beaches there, and I've seen the beaches of the West Coast. Beautiful places. Sunset, beach, everything. And I want to tell you, I mean, one summer I can remember when I was young, my family drove to California. We went down to the beaches, 1,500 miles there, came back, spent 2 weeks here, and then took off to the East Coast. So I've seen both in a summer's period when I was younger. And just to see the sights, we stopped in Washington. I saw all the monuments. I saw the statues. I saw the Vietnam Wall. I saw some beautiful things and beautiful places. But is it heaven on earth? What is heaven on earth to you? Is it a situation? Let's put it where your whole family gets together. You got a dinner and your whole family's there. And often our hearts are full. And we might think, this got to be pretty close to heaven on earth, right? These are the things we long for. These are the things, the happiness that we have in our family. But what I'm trying to talk to you about today is the joy that's going to be in heaven when we get to heaven. You see, there's a lot of us have even thought about that and put it in our minds that there's a place here on earth that is pretty close to heaven. But I think that when we get there, our minds are not going to be able to really understand unless God reveals it to us of what heaven is, the extent of it, and that there is no more tears, there is no more sorrow, and that Jesus will be there with us. That's the heaven that I long for. That's the heaven that's in my heart. You know, when family even gets together, now that's a good situation, right? Unless they're fighting, unless everybody comes on time, unless you have some of the stragglers. So even in that period right there, your heaven on earth can be changed in a moment just by a little bit of argument that's going on. So I want to get your mind focused on what God's going to do to us, do for us in heaven. So these are good times. I know these are good times when everybody, the family gets together, and we praise God for those things. I'm not saying that those are bad things, and I'm not trying to diminish those in any type of way. Because when my family gets together, when my grandkids come over, that's a wonderful thing. About 10 minutes, I'm exhausted. But I enjoy it so much. And if you guys know anything about grandkids, you know that's an exhausting thing. But I mean, it's the most beautiful thing. That's the gift that God has given us. Those are gifts that God has given us. Now, heaven, the family that we're talking about, that's the family that we want to go there with us and spend eternity with us. You know, we're at the point now where I feel like Jesus is coming so quick now. I feel like I can see it in the world. I think that even the people that don't believe know something's coming. They know, and they don't even believe in God, but they can feel it, and they can sense it in the air. I know this, and I can feel it. And I just pray at this point, like, even with my grandkids, they're so young, they're still under the age of accountability. Like, come on, let's hurry and do this before they start sinning. You know what I mean? And I pray for them all the time, but they have so much to overcome. So much to overcome in this world. So much more than we had to overcome. They're exposed to so much. So much sin. So it's so rampant right now. And it also even becomes the norm. And that's what earth is compared to heaven. You know, I talk to the teens all the time, what they see, what they're going through. They're constantly trying to make these children think that things, this is the normal, and this is the way it should be. And I'm constantly telling them, this is not the normal. This is not the normal. Jesus is the normal. So if we've hit this level of sin at this age right here, this level of sin since I was young has grown so much. Now, how much more is it going to grow when my grandchildren are grown? What are they going to be showing on TV? What's it going to be like? The sin is just going to be rampant. That's showing you right there that we're living in a sinful world that is continuing to get more and more sinful. And as we get closer to the end times, the Bible says that the devil knows the time is coming. So he's going to ramp it up, and become more and more and more. So what I want to talk to you about in heaven, it's where we belong. We don't belong here. This is not what we were created for. We were created to be in heaven, to go back to the garden. As I said before, there was heaven on earth before, and that's when the garden was here. And that's what God was talking to Adam and Eve, and he would walk in the garden with them, and he would talk with them. So much so that when they left the garden, they remembered these things, and they passed these things on to the people that were going on there. Adam's great-great-grandson, Enoch, probably heard the stories from Adam. Tell me what it was like to walk with God. Tell me what it was like. So much so that he longed for it. And the Bible will tell you that Enoch also walked with God. He walked with God and he talked with God. How did he know to do that? Because it was passed down from family to family. It's very important for us to tell your family members, tell everybody about what God's done in your life. Because it could affect them and change them and also make them do the same thing. If you walk with God and you talk with God, wouldn't you want your family members to do the same thing? Tell them about it. Tell them about the accomplishments that God has done in your life. Oftentimes we have accomplishments that God's done in our life and we don't even note them. If you look back into the Old Testament, they would build altars to when the time, whatever happened at that place, so that they could come back and remember and worship these things that God did, and just give God thanks for what he did. My suggestion to you is if God has done things in your life, write them down, stick them on the refrigerator. Every once in a while, go back and just say, yeah, God did that for me. Remember it. Thank God for it. We're waiting for the next thing to happen, waiting for the next miracle to happen. God help me here. And also too, when you're asking God for things, I think we're asking God for little bitty things. And we need to be asking God for big things, because he's waiting, he's listening. He has the angels listening, everybody's listening. Oh, he's fixing to pray, they're fixing to pray. And it's just silly stuff, you know? It's just, God, please bring my cat back. My cat disappeared, I need my cat back. You know what I mean? And everybody's listening in heaven, what's this prayer gonna be? And God's waiting for these big prayers to come through, and we have these little bitty prayers that we're giving out. Pray big to God. There's promises in the Bible. Read them, write them down. Talk to God about the promises that are given to you. Those promises weren't just given to the people in the Bible. They're given to all of us. Those are promises for all of us. And if we are the children of God, those promises are ours. We have an inheritance. God gave us an inheritance. Now, if I give my son an inheritance, it's not anything he earned. It's something I gave him. So don't try and earn it. Don't try and earn heaven. The inheritance that we're getting from God, it was already paid for. All you have to do is receive it. That's what an inheritance is. Just receive it. It's there for you. You know, as I said before, we go back to the garden, back to perfection. And that's where we need to be. Because I don't know if you feel the same way that I do, but when I look at heaven, I long to look into the face of Jesus, just to touch the hem of his garment, just to see him face to face. I saw a video this past week. I sent it to Pastor, and it was like 9 different hugs of people that see Jesus for the first time. And it was like one person hugged and just wouldn't let go, and another one was just talking and talking and talking, asking questions. And there was another guy that grabbed him and picked him up, and you know what I mean? And I think there's going to be so many people doing so many different things. But just to see the face of Jesus, that's what heaven's about. Oftentimes, most people nowadays they want to go to heaven because they don't want to go to hell. I don't know how that sounds, and if I'm even saying that right, but I don't believe your motives are right. I don't think your heart is right. If you're just trying to skip a punishment and then you're taking the default heaven, that's not what this is about. That has nothing to do with it. We want to go to heaven. Why? Because Jesus is going to be there. We want to go to heaven because we're going to have eternal life with him. We have to have a love for Jesus. We have to have a love for heaven. We have to have a love for that, because if we love heaven and we're constantly looking up to heaven, that'll keep our eyes on Jesus. That's where he's at. He's coming to get us, and that's where we're going to spend eternity with him. Now, oftentimes we might have this idea that we're going to be like angels floating around on the clouds. No, we're going to be up there learning more about Jesus, more than your mind could even expand to understand. The Bible says there's so many books that the world could not even contain them if everything was written down about what Jesus did. Well, we're going to know those things. There's a lot of things that I want to know about. There's a lot of people I want to talk to when I get there. I want to talk to Moses. I want to talk to Paul. I want to talk to these people for them to tell me the story of what's going on and what happened, the real story behind the story. I want to know the story behind the story. And I think that that's going to happen for us. And I think that we need to long for that situation. Oftentimes we get comfortable with this flesh, and we get comfortable with this earth, and we think that, well, we should have more, and we should have better, and we should have this, and we should have that. Just know what we're going to have, where we're headed. I don't think we do it. I don't think that I do it. I'm not in here trying to tell you that you guys are doing something that I wouldn't do or that I'm not doing. I oftentimes look at this earth and look at what's going on. I look at my situation. And as I said on last Wednesday, we're thanking God in advance, even for the healing of somebody that's sick. Because when they get to heaven, there's no more sickness. There's no more pain. I don't know about y'all, but I got some pain. I got some pain. This body's wearing out, and I need a new one. So when we get to heaven, we're going to get new bodies. Amen? That's got to be an amen for somebody in here. Amen? I'm telling you, that right there alone is something else. No more sorrow. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more tears. God's going to wipe away all of our tears. Now, I don't know how that all works, and I don't know how it's going to work, but I know that I want to be part of that. I know that I want to live my life today to make sure and guarantee that I have part of that. There's so many verses in the Bible that you know, I live my life by, and so many that I know that me coming up here, if I'm not living a righteous life and I'm not doing what God's asked me to do and I'm not walking in the will of God, God will still get his message out to the people, so that when I get to heaven, in Matthew 7:21, when it says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," and I say, "Well, I cast out demons and I did this and I did that, all in your name," he's going to allow that to happen for his kingdom to be done and his glory to be done. The Bible tells you that these people were doing this in the name of Jesus. They were doing miracles, casting out demons in the name of Jesus. So even me, do you understand what I'm telling you? Even me up here, I have to walk the right walk. It's a serious thing. And I think that oftentimes we just go not even thinking about anything. We just walk about this earth like we have 100 more years. Well, I hope we all do, but I don't think it's going to happen. And I think Jesus is going to come back before then. And if we're not ready, then some of us are going to be left. That's the problem. So if we're constantly thinking about this earth, then this is probably where we're going to stay. But if we have our mind on heaven and Jesus coming back to us, then that's to be the focus that we're going to do. Even in our work, I want to tell you, God doesn't care how many yards I cut. God doesn't care how many things I do in life. That's not, he cares about when I get to heaven and they ask you the question, God's going to ask you a question. What did you do with what I gave you? Well, what did he give you? He gave you his son. He gave you Jesus Christ. What did you do with that? Did you talk to others? Those are the things that are going to go on forever. The only thing that's going to last forever is what's done for Jesus Christ. All this frivolous stuff is all going to pass away. But yeah, we have our minds on this frivolous stuff all the time. That's my focus tonight for you, everybody in here and everybody online, to get heavenly minded. Heavenly minded. Stay heavenly minded. Amen? Amen. I have a scripture that I want to go to. It's Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. The title of the chapter is Put On the New Self. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things of earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So, what Paul is saying right here is that he's setting your mind, set your mind on things above. Set your minds on the things that are above. Now, I have another question for you. Have you heard the term, so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good? Some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Now, I do want to caution you of that. You can get caught up. You can think of heaven so much that you lose compassion for love and love of people. You can come to church all the time. You can come in here and it just becomes something that you do. You know, you've got a laser focus. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do this. And just as the Good Samaritan walked by a man that's in the ditch to get to the temple. Do you understand what I'm saying? So his mind is on, I got to focus on God. I got to focus on God. But yet, there's somebody right there in the ditch that he walked by and didn't help. Those are the things I'm trying to tell you. Keep your mind on heaven, but also keep your mind on the things that God is telling us to do. Now, I believe so many people in this world have it the opposite way. They're so earthly minded that they're no heavenly good. They've completely switched it around. And there's so many people. And I know that you are thinking of somebody in your head right now that is doing the same thing that I'm talking about right here. Somebody that is so in love with this place, so in love with this world, whether it be a family member or a work person, whoever it is, you know who I'm talking about. They love their lives. They love what's going on here. And to them, this is probably where it's at. Those are the people that I'm talking about. Now, we have to understand, this is where their heaven is. This is where their treasures are stored. And this is as close as they'll probably get to heaven. That's sad. They're making this their heaven, so when it comes time to go, they're not going to want to leave. They're not going to want to leave. They're going to want to live here forever on this place, on earth, on this place. We're not meant to be here. This isn't where we belong. This was never where we belonged. We belonged in the garden, living forever with God. But yet what? Sin came in? So now it's a sinful place. A sinful place. It was so good that the Bible talks about when he had to get Adam and Eve to leave, he actually had to force them out of the garden. I have this image in my head of a cat when you're trying to put it in the bathtub and he's grabbing hold of the doors and he's holding on as tight as he can. I have the image of Adam and Eve doing that as they're being kicked out of the garden, because I think that's what it was. They knew what they were, they didn't know where they were headed and how bad it was going to be, but they knew how good it was where they were at. They knew that they could walk in the cool of the day and speak to God every day. And then after that, things got kind of distant through the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would come and he'd speak to some, he'd talk to some, but it kind of got distant, right? Things got in the way. Sin got in the way. That's where we belong. We belong in the garden, speaking with God. Now, when I say that this is where their heaven is, you have to understand that there's so many people here that are trying to build these kingdoms, these big earthly kingdoms here on earth. Now, we can build million-dollar businesses but be broke in heaven. Everybody has their investments on everything that's going on here. You know, I got to a point in my life where, even in my business, some people that had, I know a lot of people that have big businesses, and their businesses have grown. But over the years, they've come to me and they've talked to me and they're like, well, how's your business going? How many employees you got? How many crews you got working for you? And I said, I don't have anybody working for me anymore. Why? What happened? I said, I let them. Why would you do that? In my mind, I'm to the point now where I'm focusing on something else. So I've condensed my work down to the work that I can do by myself, instead of having this multi business that I have going on. I'm focusing more on God. I'm focusing on the things that are important to me. At one point in my life, it wasn't like that. When I would talk to these people that were building million-dollar businesses here, we would talk about like, what do you think I should do? How should I do this? We would talk about these things. But now, my focus is on something else. But guess who they think is the weird one? Guess who they think is not doing right? Guess who they think is not doing right with my business? Now, oftentimes we ask for God for our daily bread, but we're not asking for our daily bread. We want the daily bread plus a bunch of manna to put up for the next day, right? But that's what God taught us through manna. He gives you enough provision for the day. Now, God will give you enough provision to do the will of God. That's what, give me my daily bread. Give me enough strength to preach the gospel for one more day. That's daily bread. That's what it's about. But somehow we've taken it and we've mixed it up and added these earthly things to it so that we want all this other extra stuff with it. You know, even when we can build loving relationships and never pray for them or never ensure their salvation. That's another thing we can do on this earth. We can have all these family members that we love, but we never pray for them. We never talk to them about their salvation, where they're headed. Why? Because it could get offensive, or somebody could get their feelings hurt. Somebody's really going to get their feelings hurt if the rapture comes and they're left behind. Then their feelings are really going to be hurt, and they're going to say, I wish somebody would have talked to me about it. I wish my family member that's gone would have talked to me about what they actually believe in. Like I said before, when I was younger, I had many people that around me that were religious, and nobody talked to me about Jesus because I think they assumed that I was saved. And I think that a lot of times we look at our family members and we assume that they're saved. Oftentimes we might even say, oh, well, they're good people. We try and add things to it, right? They're going to be fine. They're good people. They don't hurt anybody. They might sin. They might go do this. They might go do that. But they're good people. We have to get out of that mindset. Start speaking to people. Because I'm telling you, the time is drawing near. The time is short. And we have to start working as soon as possible. When our minds are on the things of earth, we become very selfish. That's when selfishness comes in. When we look at the things that we can gain from this earth, it tickles our flesh and makes us want more. Your flesh is not going to be satisfied with just a little bit of something. Your flesh is always going to want more, always going to want something more. If you have a new car, somebody gets a newer car, you're going to want a newer car. You might not say it, you might not feel it, but deep down, we're always trying to build these kingdoms here on earth. We're trying to build this heaven for us on earth. And I like to call it the God investment. It's a God investment that everybody has here on earth. Not necessarily you, unless you fit into this category, but a lot of people fit into this category. They want minimal deposits with maximum returns. That's how they look at God. They want to figure out, what's the least I can give to God and still go to heaven? What will allow me to go to heaven and continue to sin? What sin can I get away with and still go to heaven? Minimum deposits, maximum returns. I don't know if y'all have ever seen the painting. It's called The Creation of Adam by Michelangelo. And it has God, he's reaching down from heaven and he's touching the finger of Adam. So God is stretching out as far as he can to touch, and Adam just barely has his finger out like this. Just barely has, and God is stretching out to touch him. Isn't that it? That's it, right? That's us. That's us. God is always reaching out to us, and we just kind of just do this. We just kind of do this. And where's he reaching out from? Heaven. Heaven. We have to fully extend, reach out, do what we can do to be with him. Oftentimes we're looking for the cheap way out. There is no cheap way out. We owe God everything. We owe him everything. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He gave us his son to die on a cross. I have sons. And for me to give my son for that, man, but he didn't just give it for the righteous. So that, oh, well, yeah, okay, I'm going to give it to the righteous. They deserve it. Get on that cross, son. Let's do this. No, he did it for the sinner. He did it for everybody. He did it for Hitler. He did it for Lenny. He did it for all these people. He did it for the terrorists that are attacking Israel. He did it for all of them. He loves everybody. It's the free gift. It's the free gift, the inheritance. All they have to do is receive it. Receive it and follow him. Amen? Amen. I have another scripture that I want to go over. My next scripture is Philippians 1, 21 through 24. Philippians 1, 21 through 24. To live is Christ. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in flesh, this means fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed for both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sakes. Paul was heavenly-minded. Paul longed to be in heaven. He knew that's where he belongs, but he knows that there's work here to do. That's the only reason he wanted to stay here, for their sake, for the people he was talking to, for the people he was preaching to, for the churches he was starting, for the things he was doing for God. That's the more important thing. I know that we long to be in heaven, and as I said, we long to be in heaven, and we walk down the road, and we see the person laying in the ditch, and we need to be the Good Samaritan. And also help them, once we heal them, take them to the church that we're headed to. That's what it's about. And tell them about the heaven that we have promised to us. Keep our minds on things above. Just as it said in Colossians 3:1, set your mind on things above. Paul had it figured out. He'd had the best of both worlds. He knew he was headed there, and he knew he had work to do here. Paul had a lot of work to do here. And he was beat up. He took 39 lashes three times. So what they did to Jesus, he took three times. And oftentimes they would do half on his back, flip him over, and do the other half on the front. So they did that to him three times. At some point, you have to figure, he's just a walking scar. He's just a big scar tissue that's walking around. They said that his looks were terrible. They also said he was a very short man. He was a little bitty man. So the target was probably pretty small. You know, they also said that Paul had vision problems, eye problems. So could one of those cat of nine tails hit him in the eye? Maybe messed up one of his eyes? The Bible even said that he had a thorn in his side. Maybe one of his ribs were exposed from the beatings that he took. But he carried on. He carried on. That's how you persevere. That's how he even asked the Lord to take it away from him. And God told him, no, it needs to stay there. My grace is sufficient for you. Oftentimes, we might ask for our thorn to be removed, but God knows we need those things in our life. We need those irritants in there so that we turn to God. If you had plenty of money, would you pray? If you won the lottery tomorrow, would you still pray? Lord, I need your daily bread. Why would you pray? You get daily bread now. You don't need to pray. That's what I'm saying. That's what we have to do. We have to keep our minds on God, on heaven, on Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, just as Paul did. He didn't use all the things that were going on in his life as excuses. You know, we might stub our toe and say, oh, man, I was going to go talk to that person about Jesus, but, you know, this toe, I hit it the other day. And here's Paul with the big scar tissue walking around spreading the gospel. That's the difference in the first church and what we have going on today. There's too much relaxation, too much complacency, too much, we got plenty of time. But I don't know how long Paul's ministry was, but he worked from when he got it until he died. I know that Jesus was 3.5 years, and he worked from when he started until he died. There's no difference for us. We're not called to do anything different. We're not called to go home and sit in front of the TV for hours. We're not called to do that. And that's a lot of our problems. That's my problem. And I know now that I need to turn that off, turn away from it. This is my problem. This is my problem. Social media is my problem. And I know it's a lot of people's problems. Even talking to people on the phone all the time is your problem. You talk to people more than you talk to God. God's giving you something to do. We just need to do it. Now, there's a lot of work to do. And that means there's work for me, there's work for you, and we still have work to do. But I have something I want to tell you right now. The will of God will require you to do work. I'm going to say it again. The will of God will require you to do work. Not sit on the couch, as I said, and just watch TV. We have to understand that this is not our home. We're here on what? Work visas. We're here temporarily working, and then eventually we'll be called home, right? Work visas. We're here to work. A lot of us are lazy Christians. We do not do what we're called to do. We don't even ask what we're called to do. It's more comfortable to sit in front of the TV or look at my phone. Those are the comfortable things. We kind of need to get out of our comfort zone. The churches from the beginning, they were in torment. They were, and it kept them moving, kept them active, kept them going. We're so complacent in our faith. And I think that, as I've told Pastor before, I think the church needs a little persecution in order for everybody to build their faith. I think that there's some people out there that they have the faith in Jesus, but they're just like waiting for something to happen in order to activate it. And you don't have to have that. You just speak to God and he'll tell you. But I want to tell you, when I speak to God and God talks back to me and he gives me something that I need to do, that activates me. That gets me excited. And I'm not saying that God's Jason, you know, he's speaking down from, I'm not talking like that. He speaks to my heart through the Spirit. He speaks to me. And in these moments, that's when he activates me and gets me more excited to learn something more and learn something new. And as I'm telling everybody tonight about the TV and the cell phone, I'm also speaking to myself. I'm speaking to myself because I'm in that category. Anything I'm telling everybody in the church and online is not just for you. All of that applies to me also. All of these sermons apply to me. God speaks to me through these just as he speaks to you. I have issues too. And that's why I tell the church, because I don't want people to go down the same road I'm going down. I see this, so I try and fix the problem. You understand what I'm saying? So I have that loved one that I want to talk to, and you're my loved one that I want to talk to, and I want to let you know that God doesn't expect you to sit in front of the TV night after night after night. He wants to talk to you. Those are in the moments. There's often times when we just get alone and we're like, oh, thank goodness I'm alone. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to do anything. I just want to be alone, right? God might want to talk to you in those moments. He might have set that up for you to be alone because he wants to talk to you. You know, a lot of people look at what I do for a living, and I'm behind that weed eater a lot. But I have my headphones on. I'm praying over properties. I'm praying for people. I'm listening to sermons. I'm listening to the Word of God. I'm listening to praise and worship music. I'm praising God. Most people probably think I'm crazy. I'll put my weed eater down. I'm praising God out in the middle of wherever. You know what I mean? And whatever. Think I'm crazy. But that's why I love what I do. So find out when you have that moment. Sometimes it's hard to find that moment. I remember my kids were little. I never would get that moment. Them kids were everywhere all the time. I couldn't get away from them. They were everywhere. But I just want to tell you, I mean, I had to get up early. So I started the habit of getting up at 4:30 in the morning. So when I'd get up early, I knew that nobody was going to be awake. Then nobody wanted to get up at 4:30. So I spent time with God in the morning before everybody woke up. And I'd be in there and I'd have a good time. And then I'd hear that door open. You know, oh man, there it starts. It's all starting. But that's okay. You know what I mean? I love my family too, but I love that. And I took the time out to figure out how to do that, because at my job at that time, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do what I do now. I remember when I first came to Christ and a man gave me a Bible, and he gave me a Bible that I could understand and I could read, and it was the New Testament. man, I was just soaking that thing up, and I was just like reading it. He'd come up and I'd be like, man, it says this, this, and this. And he's like, yeah, it also says this, that, and that. And we would be back and forth, and I was just eating it up. You know what I mean? And that's what the Bible talks about. Get back to your first love. Get back to your first. When did you first love Jesus? How did you seek after him and chase him and just thank him for the things that he took out of your life? Those are the things you put on your refrigerator and you come back to. And you say, yeah, I remember that. I remember when God did that. Or when somebody walks by and say, what is that about? Well, let me explain that to you. The kids, what is that one about? Oh, that's when God did this. Oh, that's when God did. That's when you were born. That's when God did that. That's when this happened. Constantly remind ourselves of the things that God did in our lives. We need those. We need those reminders. Busy life gets busy. Life gets busy. We forget. We get caught up in the moment, doing whatever. God wants to talk to you in those moments too. As I told the teens in the back, God wants to know what clothes you're going to wear that day. God wants to know what you're going to eat for breakfast. God wants to know what station you're going to turn on the way to school. God wants to know these things. He wants to be involved in everything, not just the big things in your life. And a lot of us are just waiting for these moments where we're all falling apart, and then that's when we call out to God. It shouldn't be like that. We need to talk to him all the time. Now, when I say that we need to get to work, and we need to get to work fast, because some of our bodies are wearing out, amen? Some of us, the time's running short. We need to get to work as soon as possible. You know, and I was thinking about this when I said this, and I think that we eventually have expiration dates put on us, and I think that I probably have one somewhere on me, and it's like the milk where it says best used by. I probably have that stamp somewhere. It's probably on the top of my head, and my hair is falling out, so now you can finally see it. Best used by this time. Well, that's all of us, because all of us, our bodies are just breaking up. So the time is now to do the work that we're supposed to do for God. You look at Paul. Could you just see him just dragging along like, I got to get this done. Because he was running a race, right? He was running a race. And that's what it is. It's a race. And we can still run a race, even at our age and our broken down bodies. We can still run that race. Now, I watched an interview the other day, and it was with a bunch of celebrities. I'm not going to name their names, but they were all upset that they were going to die. And they were all looking for ways to live. I'm going to live forever. They want to live forever. They want to live in these bodies forever. And they're talking to scientists or whatever. You guys just figure this out. I'll entertain you forever if you can just get me to live forever. They want this place right here. They're looking for the fountain of youth, if there is one out there. I don't know if there's one out there, but they're searching for it. And they're going to go after it. I heard the other day, Elon Musk, he implanted the first chip into a human brain. Now, when that chip is put into the brain, eventually that's going to become something where our bodies become hackable, where they can go in there and they can do things and make things happen, right? They're going to look for some way to get this into your brain so that, I was talking to Pastor about it, if you have a cut, your body knows, send red blood cells, heal it, right? It takes about a week to heal. But what if you can hack that system and get all your red blood cells to hit it and you heal within a minute? This is what they're working on. They want to live forever here, whether it be in the flesh here, or they've even come up with subconsciously living in a computer forever. I don't know who wants to do that, but that's not me. That makes no sense to me. I don't even understand that, and I don't want to know that. I'm just telling you that the world is wanting to live here, and we should be longing to live there. That should be on our hearts. You know, the people that are wanting to live here, it's sad because they're seeking to live forever without seeking Jesus. So they're constantly looking for ways to live forever, and it's right in front of them the whole time, Jesus. He's the one with eternal life. Jesus can give you eternal life. But yet they don't want Jesus. They don't want it. And I have, to tell you the truth, I have more respect for somebody that says, I don't want Jesus, I don't want God, than for the person that acts religious, but yet doesn't honor God. Doesn't honor God with their lives, doesn't honor God with the way they live. They don't care about being righteous. They don't have any conviction about any sin they do. I have some people that they just continually sin and send me Bible scriptures. So how is that effective? to me and my heart, you're just making Jesus look bad. You're putting a bad name on Jesus. It doesn't make sense. That is what the world does. The world wants to live here forever, figure out how much sin I can get away with and still make it to heaven. And maybe if I don't get to heaven, that's okay. If I can round up five people, as we had talked about last Wednesday, round up five people that I love so much, we can all live together and live here on earth, and I don't have to go to heaven, I'll take that one. They don't care about Jesus. They don't want to be with Jesus. Or they love this world and they love their family members even more than they love Jesus. Why wouldn't you want your family members to go with you to heaven? That's the goal. That's the aim. Not to figure out how an alien can come here and change everything and now we can live here forever. That's the world, and that's demonic. That's demonic. We have to keep our minds on heaven. If we keep our minds on heaven, then we keep our minds on Jesus. We have to bring as many people with us. As I said, the Good Samaritan, we walk by, we see that person, we help them. When they heal, we take them with us. We take them to church, we show them what's going on. That's heavenly minded. That's what Paul was. Paul was so beat up, yet he still ran the race like it was the last minute. He did it. He's an example for us. Jesus is an example. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, Paul was a pretty good example to follow. Paul was a tough, tough man. And I don't think they hardly make him like that anymore. You know, we have the cotton candy Christian that, like I said, doesn't really want to do much, just kind of wants to get to heaven. Just do enough just to get by to get to heaven. And that's not what we looked at in the New Testament with all the apostles and how they lived their lives. They lived boldly with the Holy Spirit guiding them through dangerous situations, but they did it. Dangerous situations. The scary thing with all these people that are going to want to live here forever is that they will live forever. All of us will live forever. Christian, non-Christian, atheist, everybody's going to live forever. It's just location, location, location. Where are you going to live? You only have two places. Earth isn't part of it. You either have heaven or hell. Earth isn't even in the question. But yet we build our heaven here. We build our treasures here. We build everything here. That's not what the plan of God is for your life. Turn the TV off, put your phone down, find out what the will of God is for your life. Even sometimes if it hurts, go do it. Go do it. If it's the will of God, it's going to be the best plan for your life. It's going to be the best plan for your life. It might not look like it at times, but in the end, God has the best plan of protection for you. He has the best plan for you. He's going to protect over you. We have to understand that. We have to believe that instead of just saying that. Tonight, tonight's message, that my take home for everybody tonight. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's coming. He's coming. Stay heavenly minded, and that's by keeping your eyes on Jesus. Work while there's still time. As I said, we all have expiration dates on us. I have one too, remember I said? Right up there. It's time to work. Now's the time to do it. Build your treasures in heaven. This isn't the place to do it. Earth isn't where we're supposed to be building our treasures. When we get to heaven, the crowns that we get, that's the treasure that we build. The people that we take with us, the ones that we talked about. The guy at the grocery store that I talked to that I don't even remember his name, but when I get to heaven, he'd be like, there you are, I've been waiting for you to get here. Remember when you talked to me at Stripes? That changed my whole life, set me in a pattern to where I stopped drinking, I stopped doing drugs. Just the little things. One man talked to me one time and it changed my life. I had a whole family that never talked to me about it, but one man talked to me one time and changed my whole life. Talk to somebody about it. You never know when you get to heaven if God will say, why didn't you talk to that person? You were the only one I had left to talk to them. You were the one that was supposed to do it, and you didn't do it. Now they're not here. That one at work, why do you think God has you in that workplace that you're in? Why do you think God has you around all those people that are not Christians? Because he wants you to speak to them. And sometimes we can speak through our actions. You might not even have to say anything. They just look at you and say, there's something different. As we always say, they're going to read you before they read the Bible. And they're looking for the hypocrite. They're waiting to spot it. Don't give them the opportunity. Just stay in Christ. Stay in Christ. I remember I traded jobs after I got saved and I went to a new job. Nobody believed me at my first job that I got saved because they remembered the old me. I try and talk to people about Jesus, whatever. Okay. So I went to this new job. I went to the new job. I'm like, it's on. I'm Christian Jason now. Anybody I go in contact with at this new place, they don't even know the old me. And when I went to that new place, I spoke to everybody about Christ. So much so, people were kind of walking away from me, getting away from me. That's okay. But later on, they would come and they would talk to me. As I said before, I've had people come up to me at that job and, hey, can you pray for me? And I said, yeah. And I'd start praying. No, right here. Let's go back over there. We can't pray. Yeah, we can pray right here. I'd start praying for them right there. They'd never seen it. Supposed to be a Christian company, and we'd had a luncheon or a dinner. And I said, well, who's going to say the prayer? Well, we don't do that. I said, what do you mean you don't do that? So, well, if you'd like to do it, you can. I said, yeah, I'll do it. Come to your job, change your attitude, change the way, and bring your conversation back to Jesus. Bring all your conversations as you're talking to somebody and they're talking about something. In the back front of your mind, keep Jesus there and look for that opportunity. Look for that opportunity and drop it. Always look for the opportunity to talk about Jesus. Look for the opportunity to talk about our church, what we have going on here, the youth that's going on in here, the teens that are going on in here. Invite somebody. Invite some kids. If you know any kids, bring them here. Let's build this church. Not for our glory, but for the glory of God. Let's build this church. We have an opportunity. We have something big that we can do here. We have the things that, like Paul did, building churches there and there and there and all around. We can build one here. We have a building. We got a roof. We got pews. We got a pulpit. We got online. We can do it. We got everything we need. We just need the people. And we need the willpower of the people in the church to talk to people. That's what it's about. We have to understand this. We have to understand it. It's on my heart that we need to talk to people about Jesus and stay heavenly minded. Amen. Spread the gospel, message of salvation, and love the one that's in front of you. That's very important. Focus on everybody else, but oftentimes just love that one person that's in front of you. Just show them the love of Jesus. That's what we need to do. We need to get back to the love of Jesus. We need to get back to loving each other. We could come into this church and sit in the pew and leave, come back the next day, do the same thing, repeat, do it over and over and over, and not even talk to anybody. I've been in churches like that, where they come in and nobody speaks to anybody. Half the people, you'll have this church here, half the church is sitting in the back of the church because they don't want anything to do with anybody. They don't want to talk to anybody. They just want to hear the message and go home. And then that's good enough for them. You know, as Pastor says, go to somebody, tell them Jesus loves them and that you love them, and that is the truth. Remember, he says that after he gets off of the piano or the organ over here. He gets off and he tells everybody that. And you could see it in some people's faces. They're like, oh no, oh no, this is the most uncomfortable part. You know what I mean? And that's okay. There is some people out there like that. And when you get to a new church, that might be something that people are feeling. Make them feel welcome. Let them know that they're welcome here and that it's okay and that maybe you felt like that at one time. I remember when I first came to Christ, man, I wanted to meet everybody. I was like, man, put me as an usher because I want to meet everybody coming in the door. I want to talk to everybody. And I was just like that. I would just, man, when I was on fire for God. Anything they had me do, I was doing it. And, you know, get to the point where Kimberly was sitting in she's sitting in the pews. We both came to Christ together. She's like, I thought we were coming to Christ together. Half the time you're back there. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, I mean, I just got so excited about it. So then it got to the point where she started serving. And we both started serving in the church. We have to get back to that first love. We have to keep our mind on heaven, and it'll keep our minds on Jesus. Amen? The way I'm telling you this tonight is because God's putting it on my heart that He is coming soon. He is drawing so near to all of us. He's coming. He's coming on the clouds. He's coming. And when I say Jesus is coming, He's coming to get the church. Dead in Christ will rise first, and we'll go after. That's a glorious moment. That's a thing that's going to happen. Now, how can we look at the Bible and just say, oh, that's a fairy tale? No. That's real. Do you believe it's going to happen? Do you believe this is going to happen? It has to happen. It's in the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. Did he lie to us? No. It's going to happen. It's going to happen very soon. Everything's lining up. Everything's lining up, and we're towards the end. We're so close to the end. I thank God that I'm, you know, Pastor said the 80s are the greatest generation. And I always tell them we had the best music and we're going to be here when Jesus comes back. That is the best generation ever right there. We got best of both worlds. Best music and Jesus is coming back while we're still here. Amen. He's coming. Be ready. Prepare your hearts. That's what I have to tell you today. And that's what the Lord put on my heart to tell you today. So receive that word in Jesus' name. Amen.